I push the ignition button, check that the doors and windows are closed, then gently tap the gas pedal. There's a red light blinking on the dash, but the engine starts. We tilt alarmingly as I drive off the edge of the platform, but the car stabilizes fairly fast, leaving us bobbing like a cork in the water. I stroke the accelerator again. That starts a lot of spray flying. This thing isn't the world's most efficient paddle boat, but we begin to move away from the Mabuza, and I start the windscreen wipers so I can see where we're going. The Explorer is a huge grey bulk about 400 meters away. There's the beginning of a trail of foam at her stern, but I'm pretty sure I can catch her. Even a smart car can outrun a 60,000-ton deep ocean drilling ship, I figure. Ramona leans against my sore shoulder, and I feel her bone-deep exhaustion, along with something else, a creeping smugness. "We make a pretty good team," she murmurs. I'm about to say something intended to take the place of a witty reply when the rearview mirror lights up like a flashbulb. I goose the accelerator and we lurch wildly, nearly nosing over as a spray of water goes everywhere. Then there's a sound like the door of hell slamming shut behind me, and another huge lurch sets us bobbing side to side. A waterspout almost as high as the topmost radar mast hangs over the ship, then comes crashing back down. Fuck, fuck, fuck. We're less than a ship length away from the Mabuza, on the opposite side to the scuttling charge, and that's probably what saves us. Most of the blast is heading in the opposite direction. On the other hand, the ship is rolling, heeling over almost 60 degrees, and there's a gash below the waterline that's raised so high above the surface, I can see it in my rearview mirror. It looks large enough to take on 100 tons of water a second. Johanna opened the bulkhead doors below the waterline, and as if it isn't enough that the charge has ripped the yacht's skin open, cavitation from the explosion has broken her keel. I suppose Billington doesn't much care about money at this point. When he's planetary overlord, he can have as many yachts as he likes. But right now, I care because we're less than 200 meters away from something as massive as a 10-story office block that's just begun to disintegrate. As a way of ensuring that annoying witnesses are silenced and the gas generator stops working, it's overkill. But if it succeeds, I suppose Lloyds of London are the only people who are going to complain. The ship's superstructure hangs in the air like a hallucination, heeled over through almost 90 degrees. Loose life rafts and stores tumble across the deck and fall into the sea. With majestic slowness, it begins to roll back upright. Warships aren't designed to capsize easily, and I steel myself for the inevitable backwash when 4,000 or 5,000 tons of ship go under. I floor the accelerator pedal to open up some distance behind us, which is, of course, the cue for the engine to die. There's an embarrassed beep from the dashboard. I mash my thumb on the start button, but nothing happens, and I realize that the blinking red light on the dash has turned solid. There's a little LCD display for status messages, and as I stare at it in disbelief, a message scrolls across. Mandatory service interval reached. Return to main dealer for engine management reset. Behind me, there's a sinking frigate, while ahead of me, the Explorer has begun to make way. I start swearing. Not my usual shit, fuck, piss, cunt, bugger litany, but really rude words. Ramona sinks her fingers into my left arm. "This can't be happening," she says, and I feel a wash of despair rising off her. "It's not. Brace yourself." I flip open the lid on top of the gear stick and punch the eject button, and the car ejects.